Day 105. 0930 hours. Thank you, O Lord, for allowing me to see what I have seen today. Thank you, O Lord, for bringing me to this place at this time to see the proof of your presence. 1125 hours. Edward. Edward. I have to return to show you all, to show everyone. I've packed everything I need, putting the imager discs and film in a pouch I wove from Bestus leaves. I have food, water, the mazer with its weakening charge, tent, sleep robes. If only the arrestor rods had not been stolen. The Bikura might have kept them. No. I've searched the hovels and the nearby forest. They would have no use for them. It doesn't matter. I leave today if I can, otherwise as soon as I can. Edward, I have it all here on the film and discs. 1400. There is no way through the flame forests today. The smoke drove me back even before I penetrated the edge of the active zone. I returned to the village and went over the hollows. There is no mistake, the miracle is real. 1530 hours. The 70 will return any moment. What if they know? What if they can tell by looking at me that I have been there? I could hide. No. There is no need to hide. God did not bring me this far and let me see what I have seen, only to let me die at the hands of these poor children. 1615 hours. The 70 returned and went to their huts without giving me a glance. I sit here in the doorway of my own hut and cannot keep from smiling, from laughing, and from praying. Earlier, I walked to the edge of the cleft, said Mass, and took communion. The villagers did not bother to watch. How soon can I leave? Supervisor Orlandi and Tuck had said that the flame forest was fully active for 3 local months. 120 days, then relatively quiet for 2. Tuck and I arrived here on day 87. I cannot wait another 100 days to bring the news to the world, to all of the worlds. If only a skimmer would brave the weather and flame forests and pluck me out of here. If only I could access one of the data fix sats that serve the plantations. Anything is possible. More miracles will occur. 2350 hours. The 70 have gone down into the cleft. The voices of the evening wind choir are rising all around. How I wish I could be with them now, there below. I will do the next best thing. I will drop to my knees here, near the cliff edge, and pray, while the organ notes of the planet and sky sing what I now know is a hymn to a real and present God. Day 106. I awoke today to a perfect morning. The sky was a deep turquoise. The sun was a sharp, blood-red stone set within. I stood outside my hut as the mists cleared. The arboreals ended their morning screech concert, and the air began to warm. Then I went in and viewed my tapes and discs. I realized that in yesterday's excited scribblings I mentioned nothing of what I found down the cliff. I will do so now. I have the discs, film tapes, and comm log notes, but there is always the chance that only these personal journals will be found. I lowered myself over the cliff edge at approximately 0730 hours yesterday morning. The Bikura were all foraging in the forest. The descent on vines had looked simple enough. They were bound around one another sufficiently to create a sort of ladder in most places. But as I swung out and began to let myself down, I could feel my heart pounding hard enough to be painful. There was a sheer 3,000-meter drop to the rocks and river below. I kept a tight grip on at least 2 vines at all times and centimetered my way down, trying not to look at the abyss beneath my feet. It took me the better part of an hour to descend the 150 meters that I am sure the Bikura can cover in 10 minutes. Eventually, I reached the curve of an overhang. Some vines trailed away into space, but most of them curled under the sheer slab of rock toward the cliff wall 30 meters in. Here and there, the vines appeared to have been braided to form crude bridges upon which the Bikura probably walked with little or no help from their hands. I crawled along these braided strands, clutching other vines for support and uttering prayers I had not said since my boyhood. I stared straight ahead as if I could forget that there was only a seemingly infinite expanse of air under those swaying, creaking strands of vegetable matter. There was a broad ledge along the cliff wall. I allowed 3 meters of it to separate me from the gulf before I squeezed through the vines and dropped 2.5 meters to the stone. The ledge was about 5 meters wide, and it terminated a short distance to the northeast, where the great mass of the overhang began. I followed a path along the ledge to the southwest, and had gone 20 or 30 paces before I stopped in shock. It was a path. A path, worn out of solid stone. Its shiny surface had been pushed centimeters below the level of the surrounding rock. Farther on, where the path descended a curving lip of a ledge to a lower, wider level, steps had been cut into the stone, but even these had been worn to the point that they seemed to sag in the middle. I sat down for a second, as the impact of this simple fact struck me. Even 4 centuries of daily travel by the 80 could not account for such erosion of solid rock. Someone or something had used this path long before the Bikura colonists crashed here. Someone or something had used this path for millennia.